Good to see brothers and sisters getting along together, singing together as well. Take your Bible and turn to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. I want to introduce some special guests here this morning. I don't know what their names are, but this is one. Everybody see that? This is the first special guest. And this is the second one. I don't know if there's going to be room for all of them up here. And then, of course, this is the third one. And these are the three wise men. Of course, there could have been more or less, but we know there were three gifts. And you remember what the wise men said when they came into Jerusalem? Remember the question they asked? They said, where is he that is born what? King. King of the Jews. Somehow, those wise men knew that the King of the Jews was born. And I don't know that we'll know how until we get to heaven. But God told them somehow, allowed them to know. And they were looking for the King of the Jews. And now, their gifts that they brought, we do know what those are. Perhaps this one is the frankincense. That looks like it could be frankincense in there. Perhaps this one is the myrrh. You can see it. It's right down here. But this one maybe it looked like this. Okay? And what was inside that one? I'll show you. It was something very shiny. And it was, that's right, gold. All right. Perhaps it looked like that, some gold there. And what's special about gold? Well, it's very valuable. And, you know, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament that the Queen of Sheba, when she came to visit Solomon, guess what she gave him? Gold. And a pretty good amount of it. And it's kind of a symbol of royalty, that gold. And, of course, the wise men knew who Jesus was. They were coming to find the King of the Jews, and they brought him gold. And, you know, the angel Gabriel had even told Mary that Jesus was a king. Before Jesus was born, the angel said to Mary, in Luke chapter 1, verse 32, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So Mary knew that Jesus was going to be a king. The angel told Mary that, and the wise men knew that Jesus was going to be a king. You know, most of the people of Israel did not understand that. And many people today don't understand that Jesus is a king. They probably knew some of the prophecies of a Jewish king. Jeremiah 33 is one example in verse 14, where it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days, at that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. You know, the Old Testament prophets told about a king that was going to reign in Jerusalem. And people knew about that. People of the first century knew that. The Jews knew that. Daniel 2:44 talks about the kingdom. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. You know, the Jews knew about those prophecies, and it seems that they were expecting a kind of king who was going to set up his kingdom and defeat all the other nations of the world, and Israel would be great, Jerusalem would be the greatest city on the earth, And yet, when their king comes, Jesus, he's not the kind of king that they're looking for. He looks differently. So what sort of king was Jesus? What sort of king is Jesus? You know, as Jesus began his ministry, people were very disappointed in him. There was even a point in Jesus' ministry when the people tried to make him king. And we read that Jesus went and hid. He ran away from that. He didn't want to become a political king right then and there. And so finally, people turned against him. The Jews turned against him. He wasn't the kind of king that they wanted. And here in John chapter 18, we see that the Jews had turned Jesus over to Rome. And the Roman governor Pilate is interviewing Jesus, trying to determine what threat Jesus really is to Rome. And so we see here in verse 33, it says, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews?" So Pilate's evidently heard this going around, that Jesus is claiming to be king. Perhaps even he heard that he was born king. He's going to tell Pilate that in a few verses here. And then Jesus responds here in verses 34 and 35. Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" And those verses just show that the Jews were behind all this. The Jews had accused Jesus to Pilate. They were the ones who were trying to pit Jesus against Rome. They were trying to create a problem there, some tension between Jesus and Rome, so that Rome would do something about Jesus. And those verses show that that's what was going on. It was the Jews who were bringing this up, the Jews who were trying to create a problem here. But then we see Jesus responding to Pilate's question that he had asked back in verse 33, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And, you know, Jesus could have answered a simple yes or no with that. "Art thou the king of the Jews?" But that wouldn't have been good enough, because Pilate had something different in his mind when he was asking that question. And Jesus had to explain, rather than just saying yes or no, exactly what he was doing when he was coming as a king. And we see really what kind of king Jesus came as Jesus answered this question here. I want you to notice very carefully how Jesus answers this, especially in verses 36 and 37. Notice what he says in verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." My kingdom is not of this world. What Jesus is saying there has to do with the origin or the source of his kingdom. It's not of this world. That makes him different from any other kind of king or ruler. Think about it this way. Let's say you have a grandma that's going to be making your holiday meal, Christmas dinner, this season. And let's say that your grandma comes, and as she has laid out everything on the table there for you to eat, all the dishes, let's imagine that she were to say, "My cooking is not of the store. My cooking is not of the store." What would she mean by that? Well, she would probably mean that none of these things are store-bought. She had made all those things from scratch. She made all the dishes. Her cooking is not of the store. Now, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. But let's imagine that she says that. She's saying that it didn't come from the store. All right, the store didn't make it, and she didn't drive down to Kroger and put in an order for a Christmas dinner and just pick it up and, you know, put the things on the table. You could probably do that, but she didn't do that. It's not of the store. Now, What Jesus is saying here is his kingdom is not of the world. The meaning is that his kingdom doesn't come from the world like other kingdoms do. You know, other countries and other kingdoms in the world, the way that they get their kingdoms is by somebody having an election, a king in a country, perhaps is elected, or his subjects crown him as a king. The kingdom comes from those subjects there. But that's not how Jesus' kingdom operates. There wasn't any election or revolution in the world that makes Jesus king. Jesus does not receive his authority from his subjects. He is a king independent of what the world does. And we could say he's a heavenly king. He's a heavenly king. His kingdom comes from heaven. It doesn't come from the world. Now, let's go back to your grandma for a moment here and think about this. When your grandma says her cooking is not of the store, does that mean that she never went into the store? Probably not. She probably did go into the store and buy some ingredients. She probably did go get some flour, get some vegetables from the store, and get some different ingredients that she didn't completely make herself. She probably did go to the store. And she could even still say that her cooking was not of the store, even though she went into it. And, you know, what I'm trying to say is this. Jesus' kingdom, he says, is not of this world. You know, Jesus came into the world. Jesus' kingdom affects the world, doesn't it? You know, he came and he was born in a place in Bethlehem, and that was the world. It certainly has something to do with it. But the point here is that it didn't come from the world. His kingdom doesn't come from the world. We don't somehow get together and make Jesus king. The world doesn't do that. Then Jesus proves a difference here as he goes on in verse 36. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And from hence is just the same idea as being of something. And he's showing that it's just a different kind of kingdom here. If his kingdom were of this world, he would have a military. And he would enforce things, and he could deliver himself from being taken into captivity, and perhaps he would have some bodyguards and a secret service protecting this king. But Jesus' kingdom is different. He is a king, but it's different. He's a heavenly king. And as a heavenly king, things don't work quite the same way as Pilate is thinking here. So Pilate is hearing Jesus say all this, and what is he thinking? Well, what threat is Jesus to Rome? Is this really a problem? The Jews are coming to Pilate. They're saying, hey, you do something about this. This is a threat to Caesar. And Pilate's hearing this. He's hearing a guy say, my kingdom is not of this world. Okay, fine. You know, that's okay. What harm is that to Rome? And so Pilate asked again here, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? So he wants some clarification, but notice what Jesus says. Thou sayest, I am a king. That's like saying yes. That's like saying, you said it. He's agreeing. Yes, I am a king. Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. What Jesus is doing here is showing Pilate something about his identity here. Notice that he says, to this end was I born. Of course, that's what we're thinking about when we come to the Christmas season many times. We think about Jesus being born in a manger. laid in a manger. And the Bible tells us that Jesus was born a king. It wasn't just that he was born and then he became a king at some other point. Jesus really was born a king. He was a king when he was laid in the manger by Mary. He was a king when he stood before Pilate. Pilate wouldn't have cared about Jesus' family line or not, but the scripture shows us that Jesus really is in the line of King David. We could go back to those genealogies in the Gospels that demonstrate that. Matthew 1:1, it says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. And the Bible shows us very clearly that Jesus was born into a family that goes back to King David. Why is that important? It's important because of all those prophecies in the Old Testament that say a king will always rule from the line of David, and this king is going to do all these things. And so Jesus is born in the royal line, the family of King David. And we see his human side there when we think about who he's related to, his family is related to. But that shows that he was born a king. Then we also need to think about what Jesus said here when he said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Sometimes we may say to people, maybe that you don't know, we would say, you know, where did you come from? And, they might say, well, I was born in West Virginia. Or perhaps they were born in Kentucky or in Virginia or in Pennsylvania. And then one of these days they moved over to Ohio. We would say, where did you come from? We mean, okay, where did you grow up? And then you moved here. Or some people around here would say, well, I came from Columbus. You know, I got out of there. And from Cleveland or something like that. But, you know, that's what we mean when we say to come. To come is to go from one place and then to another place. That's what it means to come. And sometimes we talk about babies that way. You know, there's somebody that's expecting a baby, and the time comes, and we say, guess what? The baby came. And what do we mean by that? Well, we mean that the baby was in his mother's womb, and then it came out of his mother's womb. It was in there all comfortable and cozy, and then it came out. It was screaming and needing its diaper changed and everything. And, we sometimes talk about that with regard to babies, about coming. But we need to understand that Jesus came in a different way. When he says, I came into the world, what does he mean? Does he just mean he was born, he was in his mother's womb, and then he came out of his mother's womb? Well, he did do that, but he means something else when he said he came. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus was in another place. He wasn't in West Virginia or Virginia or Kentucky. He was in heaven. Those are different places. But Jesus was in heaven before the throne of his Father. And he came from heaven to earth. You know, that tells us that Jesus is not just any ordinary human being. Jesus isn't just a human baby that was born in David's line, although he was that. But Jesus is God, born into this world. He came into this world to do something. And he tells Pilate what he came to do here. And that has to do with being a king. Verse 37 again, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. You know, one day the Bible tells us that Jesus will indeed be the king, the ultimate ruler over the entire earth. That will happen. He will reign from Jerusalem. Those prophecies in the Old Testament, they will come true. They haven't come true yet, but they will someday. And yet, we see here that Jesus still rules, and he tells Pilate how he does that. I think we see how he reigns, the way that he reigns, the exercise of his reign is here in this verse. And what is it? To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. See, what he's doing here is he's acknowledging to Pilate that he is a king. He says, yes, I am a king. You said it. I was born into the world for this. And then he explains how he reigns, even right now. He explains how he rules. And how is it? It is by bearing witness unto the truth. That's how Jesus reigns right now. By bearing witness unto the truth. What does it mean to bear witness? What's it mean to bear witness? A witness is somebody who has direct knowledge of something. And they provide that information to somebody else. And we often think about witnesses in a courtroom. Somebody is a witness of an accident, and that means that they saw what happened. They are a direct source of that information, or of a crime that was committed. Perhaps they heard somebody talk on the phone and say what they were going to do, and they had direct knowledge of that information about that crime. And Jesus here is telling us that he also is a witness. He has direct knowledge of something, and he's somebody that provides that direct knowledge to somebody else. And what does he have direct knowledge of? He has direct knowledge of the truth. And he reigns even right now by revealing that truth to people today. We find in the Bible that's a specific truth that's necessary for salvation. Jesus told us in John 14:6 that he himself is truth. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus has direct knowledge of how to be saved. Jesus is that way of how to be saved. He came from heaven to reveal, to provide the information that we need, the knowledge, the truth that we need about how to be saved. And that's how he reigns today. He rules over people with the truth. And then we see the subjects of his reign. Who are the people that he rules over here? At the end of verse 37, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. The subjects in Jesus' kingdom are those who are of the truth. Those are people that can see the difference between truth and error. And it's not just that they see the difference, okay, this is true, this is not true, but those people over whom Jesus reigns are people that actually choose to step out on the side of truth. And Jesus looks at them and he says, they are of the truth. They are on the side of truth. Those are people that have chosen to be on Christ's side because he is truth. And everyone that is on that side is of the truth. They are on truth's side. And then it goes beyond that, not just a choice to be on that side, but it is hearing Jesus' voice. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. That doesn't mean that they hear voices in their heads, but it means that they pay attention and consider and obey the words of Jesus Christ. It's not just that they've made a decision at some point and chosen to be on the side of truth, but it's that they've done that, and every day they're paying attention to what Jesus says. And they hear God's voice in his word, and they're trying to do their best to obey and to live as God wants them to live. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. The people that don't hear Jesus' voice are not on his side. they're on a different side. They're on the devil's side, the father of lies. But those that are on Jesus' side, the truth side, are the ones that pay attention. No, they're not perfect. They're the ones that are seeking to live as God wants them to live, according to the truth of his word here. And then what does Pilate say in response to that here, verse 38? Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? You know, we don't know quite what Pilate meant when he said that. It could have been that Pilate really didn't care. You know, Jesus had reached out to him here. Pilate says, what is truth? And maybe he didn't care. You know, there's a lot of people like that in the world today. They could care less about the truth. And you try to tell them something about Christ and about perhaps what Christmas means here. And, you know, they don't care at all. And maybe Pilate was like that. They could care less. You know, Pilate perhaps, as he said that, what is truth? Perhaps he thought it was impossible to know truth for sure. You know, there's a lot of skeptics that are in the world today. And perhaps they would think, how can we really know what truth is? How can we know for sure anything? Perhaps Pilate said that as he heard Jesus describe himself as the truth. And it is impossible. It is impossible to know things for sure. When you look at things from a human side, it is impossible. But what we see when Jesus came into the world is that God made it possible for us. Jesus is a witness to show us something that really is true. He was with God in heaven, and then he came to reveal truth for us. We can know truth only because Jesus has revealed it to us. We can't know it in any other way. We can't know how to be saved just by making a study of it, going to the library, looking up all the information in the world. We have to pay attention to God's word, which is truth, and accept that. Accept that Jesus did come to show us salvation. He is truth. He's the way we can know. I've heard it described as people going around trying to find gasoline by digging holes in the ground. And perhaps they dig holes everywhere and try to look for gasoline, and the only thing they come up with is oil. Well, that's not gasoline. You know, gasoline's a byproduct of that oil. You're never going to find gasoline by digging in the ground. You could dig all over the world, you wouldn't find gasoline. But it comes down to the place that you're looking. Many people in the world today are looking for truth. And they're looking for it in the wrong places. And they can search and search and search every other place. But if they ignore God's word, they will not find truth. Because Jesus is the truth. He came to reveal that truth. And that is how he reigns today in the world. You know, one of the songs that we sing at Christmas, and we'll sing in a moment here, is written by Isaac Watts. And the fourth stanza of that song begins like this: he rules the world with truth and grace. He rules the world with truth and grace. That's what Jesus was telling to Pilate. Pilate wanted to know, how are you a king? Are you a king? Jesus says, yes, I am. Right now, this is how he rules. He rules with truth. He rules with grace. And the question for us today is, are we in his kingdom? Yes, he will set up a kingdom here on this earth, as the scriptures show. But he rules today with truth. Are you looking for truth? Are you skeptical about truth? The Bible reveals the truth. The only way that we can know truth is by God telling us what it is. And he's done that in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. We can't have salvation unless we accept the way that has been given us through Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes this morning? Jesus came into this world so that you could have truth. I want to ask you today, if you would say just by the uplifted hand this morning, you know, Pastor Howard, just between me and you, I'm not sure that I'm in Christ's kingdom. I'm not sure. Anybody here say that this morning? You know, I don't know if I really know the truth. I've never accepted the truth. Anybody like that this morning? You would say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Anybody this morning? God has given us the message that we need to know, salvation through Christ. That's the only way that we can know the truth and be saved. We need to make that choice and come, put our faith in Him. I encourage you to do that this morning. If there's any way I can help you, I'd be glad to do that to help you to see how you can be saved this morning. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for sending Jesus Christ into the world. We thank you that He came as a king, that He reigns today. We thank you that He reigns over our hearts. Help us, Lord, to listen to His voice. Help us to recognize that we need to be followers of Christ in His kingdom. We pray for any here today that perhaps would not know that they are saved. We pray that they would come to that understanding. The Holy Spirit would work in their hearts and help them to see their need of Jesus Christ, to accept the truth. Jesus Christ giving us that knowledge of how we can be saved. We thank you for what you've done. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.